B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I've been looking forward to this for a really long time. I've chased him for a while since I got hooked on the show. Like many people in America got hooked on this show. The show is Mayor of Easttown, and it is written and produced by a man who went to Archbishop Carroll High School, Villanova University, and his family with a big area basketball pedigree. Let's welcome in Brad Inglesby on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, but not better than you, I can tell you that, because this is an amazing story. You created a national phenomenon, and it's like the first episode of Mayor of Easttown gets 3 million viewers, and then it just gets bigger from there, and it just turns into this national thing that people are talking about at the water coolers. How's that feel?
I mean, it's pretty crazy, Mike. Honestly, I can tell you we never expected the show to be as big as it's become. It was, I think we were so wrapped up in the edit trying to finish the show. And I suppose any project you work on, you get to a place where you never really expect anything or expect an audience to follow it. And then it just sort of, it really snowballed into a thing where people got wrapped up in the whodunit. And I'm really just grateful that audiences have embraced it and have embraced Kate the way they have. I feel really lucky, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not going to put any spoilers because I know people still trying to catch up on it. But the last episode I thought was brilliant. I've told you that.
Oh, but, thank you.
But let's go back to your story is just amazing to me. Now, so here you are. You graduate from Villanova with a business degree. You started out as a teacher at St. Pat's in Malvern. Am I right about
yes,
that?
Exactly.
Okay, so
exactly, so
you don't really know where you're going to go with your life. And there are two things here. First of all, your family has this big basketball pedigree. Your dad, obviously, Villanova All-American, played professionally. Your brother, Martin, a very successful college player who's a head coach at the University of Delaware. So, first of all, how did you break away from the basketball thing to go into a different direction?
That's a good question. I really don't know. I grew up watching movies. I was always obsessed with movies, renting movies as a kid. It was just my hobby, really. And I just loved it. It wasn't really something anybody else in the family loved as much as I did, but I had this, it was just a passion. When I got to Villanova, I took a screenwriting class as an elective. I was a business major, as you said. And, you know, I had a teacher there who sort of, after class one day, you know, just essentially nudged me and said, listen, I think you're really interested in this. You're way more invested than the other kids. And have you ever given this a thought? And it really wasn't until then that I started to think about it. And then once I started writing, like I got the disease. I just couldn't get it out of my system. I just at that point was just determined to make it work because I loved it so much. So it wasn't until college that I really started to love the writing process.
So you pushed to you get out of Villanova, you start in the work field, and you push a button to get a graduate degree at the American Film Institute, and that triggers your whole life.
Totally. Well, what happened was I had written a script there, and I moved back to Philly. I moved back to Chester County, where I grew up. I was working with my father in insurance, and a guy I'd gotten to know at AFI, he became a producer, and he called me and said, any scripts you have lying around that I could look at? I'm trying to make movies on my own now, and I'm happy to look at anything. And I said to him, well, I have the two scripts that I had to hand in order to graduate. These are like my thesis scripts, if you want to take a look at them. And then he read one. He said, listen, I'm not going to make it, but I think I can get you an agent. He got me an agent. A couple weeks later, the script sold to Ridley Scott, and the agent was like, you got to move to California. So it was like the incredible, just incredible luck, really.
Well, I'm sure it was a great script if Ridley Scott got in there. So now the Mayor of Easttown thing comes to your head, and you use Delco as the theme. And, you know, yeah. I know you grew up in Berwyn, but your dad was a Delco guy, so I'm sure you had a lot of experience with Delco and knew what made it tick. So why did you use Delco as the backdrop for this story?
Well, and so my wife grew up in Delaware County and actually, you know, had grown up in Aston. That's where her parents live. And so when we go home, that's where we stay mostly. And I just really love the sense of community there. I just love sort of it was very inspiring, really, Mike. I love driving around, getting a sense of the people. And listen, and as you said, that's where my dad grew up. That's where my mom grew up, in Drexel Hill. And so it was a part of my life. And so, and I wanted to tell a story of a working class community. And Chester County, really, it really isn't that working class, right? And so I wanted to tell a story about that type of community and those types of people. And so that just was an easy choice. I just thought it served the story better. It was a story about a certain kind of person, like Mare. And I can see Mare living in Aspen. I can see her walking those streets. I can see her at the train station. And so it just was the right decision, I think. It was a community I wanted to talk about. And obviously Delaware County is a place I know. So it was an easy choice, really.
I'm tempted to ask you, like, because Hollywood muckamucks, you made this very provincial to the point where you used the things that we know about here, the Wawa references, yep, and things like that. And, you know, Hollywood people go, well, what is that? We can't use that. But you wound up winning that battle, I assume.
Well, you know what? I will give a lot of credit over to HBO, Mike, because even in the earliest development of the script, I said to them, listen, if you guys are going to do this, we have to shoot it in Delaware County, where the story takes place, because it's a story about community. It's about a very specific region. And if we're going to tell a story about this community and this region, it has to be authentic, and we have to get the details right. And a part of getting the details right is having the story actually take place there. It's got to be shot there. All the details of the beers and the t-shirts. Like, if we're going to make a story about a community, it's all about the details, right? And the specific is the universal, and we have to get the details right. And I have to say, HBO said, of course, if it's really that important, go shoot there. And I don't think it was, I think it was more expensive, but a credit to them that they understood that it was a part of the narrative and just how important it was to sell the sense of community.
We're talking to Brad Inglesby, the creator and producer of Mayor of Easttown. All right, so Brad, so you're a kid from Berwyn, and now you're thrown into this L.A. Hollywood screenplay cauldron, where there are so many screenwriters already out there, and there's so many people with screenwriter dreams. How do you break through with this script? What was the process of getting this to fruition?
Well, a couple things, Mike. I've never lived in L.A. As soon as I had to move to California, I said, I can't live in L.A. It's just not my scene. I don't want to live there. So I live in Orange County, a little bit south of L.A. I've been here for like 11 years. But, I don't think there's ever really a trick. I think the one thing that has always been really successful in my life is that I have to write stories that I care about. And if you care about the characters and you care about the story, it's going to come through on the page. And so I think a mistake a lot of young writers are, a mistake is to chase a fad, is to see a movie that's successful and try to emulate that. Because by the time your movie comes out, then the fad's over. And so the only advice I have is just to write something that you care about, and that will never go out of style, because passion will come through on the page. And that's been my way of succeeding over the years, is just to write great characters and attempt to do it with some level of honesty. And it's been able to get actors attached to projects, and actors I could never have imagined having a chance to work with. And it always just is about writing something I care about. And that's been my way of breaking through.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Well, listen, the script was good enough to break through in a big way, because you got Kay Winslet to front this thing, and what's the process of getting somebody like Kate Winslet?
I mean, it's going to sound ridiculous, Mike, but honestly, it doesn't always work this way, so I'm not saying this is the way it goes, but so what happened with Kate is I had written two episodes of the show, And I'm at the same agency Kate's at, so I know her agent a little bit, Hilda, and I dealt with her before, and I sent the scripts to Hilda, and Hilda was interested in them and thought maybe Kate was looking to do something different. I think she was getting ready at the time to shoot Ammonites, and so Hilda agreed to send her the two scripts. And 2 days later, I was on a call with Kate, and she was like, I love this. I'm looking to do something, you know, completely different. I've never held a gun before in any role I've ever played, and I'm looking to take on a new challenge, and this is a character that's completely unlike me, and that's interesting to me. And she signed on in a couple of days. So it doesn't always happen that way. I can tell you that usually what happens is you send to one actor, he or she passes. You send to another actor, he or she passes, and then a year down the road, someone signs on. So this was an anomaly, and I'm just, incredibly grateful, Kate, because she's just absolutely incredible in the show. She's one of the hardest working actors I've ever met.
The acting is fantastic, and you got great actors to play those particular roles. And, you know, Guy Pearce takes a kind of a subordinate role, and he's a big-time guy.
I know. You know, I think it worked, actually, Mike, because everyone just suspected he had to have something to do with the murder, and it kind of threw them off the scent a little bit. But, but Guy and Kate know each other, and so I don't know if Guy would have, if he would have come on board if it wasn't, if there wasn't a relationship there with Kate. Yeah, so Kate called him and said, listen, I know it's not a huge role, but I'd love to have you. Let's just get together and do something. They had played in a TV show years ago. And I think he was kind of doing us a favor. God bless him. He's such a lovely guy.
Yeah, it was nice. So the script is written with so many curveballs. It's a classic whodunit, and a great writer throws as many curveballs in as you can. Are you sitting there writing the script and go, okay, let me see if I can twist the audience this way and twist the audience that way? Because you really did that in this show.
Well, totally. I think that was our goal, is to, at the end of every episode, look each other in the eye and go, okay, is the audience going to be leaning in this direction? And then how do we start the next episode by having them lean in the other direction? So it was written with a real sense of where an audience would be inside of each episode, and then at the end of each episode, and then at the beginning of the next episode, which is something I had never done before. I'd never written a show before or a thriller. And so it was trying to understand the audience expectations within the genre and then subvert them somehow, right? Like, is to have them pointing in one direction and then come back and change it. And like you said, do a U-turn here and there, and keep the audience off balance and wanting to see more is really the goal of any kind of whodunit.
Well, you certainly did that. And I'm wondering, so you got the family very curious, obviously, here, and you have to keep this close to you don't want to give away this any of this. And I'm wondering if you're sworn to secrecy, if your brother would call you and say, who did it, did you give it up?
You know what? It's funny. Only my one brother, my younger brother, Tom, he knew the secret early on. And outside of that, and my mother, too. And my mother had read the scripts, actually. She was interested in reading the script because so much of that world she knew, and she was interested in reading the script. And she grew up in Drexel Hill, so it was really of interest to her. So she read the script. But everyone else was in the dark. And early on, they kind of said to me, you know what? I just want to watch it like everyone else. Don't tell me the secret. So a part of the joy was watching it unravel and watch all the reactions come in over text messages. So that was a real joy. I got a big kick out of that.
Well, your parents must have been besieged by neighborhood people trying to figure it out.
Totally. I mean, I think that was the biggest surprise, Mike, was just how wrapped up in the whodunit people you got. And it was, I was getting so many text messages. My parents were having people knock on their door. My dad was coming out of church in the morning, and he was getting pulled aside. People were asking him all the questions about the show. So it was a fun time.
That is awesome. And I tell you, you did the area project. People felt so good about the local references you made. You made this area, like the suburban area I'm talking about, Delaware, not necessarily Philadelphia, but the suburban area. And shooting in Coatesville and doing all that stuff. And we got a lot of calls from people that swelled with pride that you did that thing. So here's the thing, what it leads to with you. You sign a global deal with HBO, a three-year to develop new projects. And the first thing people want to say is, well, can one of those projects be another Mayor of Easttown season? I know what you've said in the past, but it's almost like you can't not do it now.
You know, listen, honestly, Mike, I would love to do it. I love Mare. I love her mother, Helen. I love the character so much that I would love to. I think the tricky thing is, you know, it's just because of the success of the show, the expectations are high, and the last thing I would ever want to do is let people down. And so I would love to do it. I would just have to be really confident, you know, that I had a story that was able to live up to the original. And if we could do that, 100%, I would do it. I just haven't quite nailed the idea yet. But, I mean, absolutely, I'd love to revisit those characters. And if we could do it in the right way, I mean, 100%. 100%.
Well, listen, everybody looking forward to whatever comes out of your brain at this point. So let me just, before I let you go, you know, you're in Orange County, but I assume that you were and are a huge Philadelphia sports fan, and what we have is we have the Sixers series, and are you following that from afar?
I was a little disappointed with game one, but I'm excited that we can, you know, rebound here in game two. I think we're going to get the game.
Okay, so that sounds good. Now, were you a good basketball player?
Oh God, no! I was like last man on the bench. I was like the last guy in the bench. My dad was a coach, so I got to make the team, but I was not good at all.
So Martin got those genes.
he got the genes. I don't know where my genes came from, but you know, he got all the athletic genes. Exactly right.
All right, so you're an Eagle fan, Philly fan, everything all the way.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. Still watch all the games out here, and I just love all the you know, all the local teams, and you know, I still am a huge fan of all the Philly squads.
All right, so what do you think of the Eagles right now?
Oh man, that's a really tough question. I'm not too optimistic, but you know, I'm interested to see what Hurts can do. I'm really interested to see what Hurts can do. I'm curious what you guys think. You guys are way more on the inside than I am.
Yeah, you don't want to ask me. I got a very low opinion. I don't want to douse your enthusiasm for Philly sports. Listen, this was a lot of fun for me, and I appreciate you coming on. I mean, people are looking forward to hearing from you, and continued success out there. It's a great story, man, and you know, so you did yourself well.
I appreciate that, Mike. Really appreciate you guys having me on today.
All right, we'll look forward to talking to you, Brad, up the road.
Okay, Mike, talk soon.
All right, there he is, Brad Inglesby on the Comcast Business Hotline. That's just an amazing story to me. You know, you go out there, screenplay, there's a zillion people trying to sell screenplays. My man hits, not only, he hits the biggest show going on in the nation.
Yeah, so now he's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, people just gravitate to him at this point, and he's going to have opportunity after opportunity, and, you know, right down the line, you're going to see a monster movie from him, I'm assuming, in the next, you know, 3 years.
Yeah, if that's the way he wants to go, I wonder. Or does he want to go to one of the streaming companies or something else? He got a lot of options.
He does have a lot of options
to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Without having to, you know, risk the feature film.
Yeah.
Go either way. Got a lot of options. But the good thing is, Kate Winslet said she would do it again.
Yes, she would.
So she's into it, and apparently she enjoyed the area.
Yeah.
She probably was able to blend in. For all we know, she was at the bar or something, and people didn't even realize.
Maybe, yeah, because she did change her appearance a little bit, just like a regular, you know, Delco Townie.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been excited to see her, though, ever since what she did at Titanic.
Yeah, this is nonsense with you, with this Titanic. You hate the character, so you hate Kate Winslet.
I don't hate Kate Winslet. I'm just saying, like,
you played the character, so you see Kate Winslet in a bar. Are you going to shirk her because she played that part in the Titanic?
Yeah.
What? See, this is the way he is. He's got no give, Connor.
Yeah, I would.
He's got no give.
You can't separate the character from the person?
No, he can't.
Come on.
It's amazing.
It's been how long? 21 years? When did that come out?
I don't know. Like, I also thought it was in the 90s.
Gotta let Leo go. Gotta let Leo go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.